Well, here in this country, a study out today finds 54% of American adults have abdominal obesity. That's the most dangerous kind. It's up from 46% about 15 years ago. It's in today's Journal of the American Medical Association. Abdominal obesity, by the way, means a waistline of more than 35 inches in women and more than 40 in men. It is a concern from a health perspective, but according to a new book, it's also complicating America's love life. Sarah Varney is the author of XL Love. She's with us from KQED in San Francisco. Sarah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I want to start where you do at the beginning of the book, which is with young girls and boys, but specifically young girls here. And you find that the more obese they are, the more likely they are to be sexually active at a young age.
Well, we know that obesity plays an important role, or I should say that excess weight plays an important role in the development of puberty. So one of the things I was really interested in was going to a place like Mississippi, where they've had obesity, widespread levels of obesity, particularly among girls and boys for many, many years. And I spent some time in the Mississippi Delta talking to one of the local physicians there. And, you know, he has these girls who are 5 and 6 years old who have developed pubic hair. So the puberty process, the pubertal process is already starting for them. So he's having to give them hormone shots to try and ward off the further development of puberty. And when you talk to the pediatric endocrinologists in Jackson, they're incredibly busy, and they're seeing some of the most, if you could say, interesting cases really in the country. They have these girls who are, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old who are starting puberty. But what we're really seeing is this actually happening around the country. So what we now know is that the percentage of girls that are beginning to develop breasts by the age of 7, about 23% of African-American girls, about 15% of Latinos, and about 10% of whites. So this is a pretty significant change from just several decades ago. And we also know that for boys, puberty is also starting earlier for boys. But one of the big concerns that I heard in places like Mississippi is that many of these boys are not just developing fat, but developing breast tissue. And we know that women who are obese have far higher, are at much higher risk for breast cancer. And what we don't know is what happens to boys who develop breast tissue in terms of their increased risk for breast cancer later in life. So all of this sort of sets particularly girls up to become, in a sense, much more sexualized at a much earlier age.
And engage in more risky sexual behavior.
So this is what's interesting is when you look at obese girls in particular, on average, they are less likely to be sexually active. But those obese girls who are sexually active are much riskier. So they're much more likely to have had sex by the age of 13. They're much more likely to have had multiple sex partners by the end of high school. And they're much less likely to use contraception. So these are a lot of the concerns, of course, among pediatricians and pediatric endocrinologists that are working with this population.
And yet, adolescents who are overweight are half as likely to begin dating as healthy weight teens.
Yeah, so this is what's really interesting is not only is obesity, from what I was able to find, disrupting, you know, how and when the stages of life are marked, puberty, for instance, but it also seems to be really changing the romantic prospects for obese and overweight girls and boys. One of the first studies that really looked at this was in 2005. And essentially what it found was that for every 1 point increase in weight for teens, for girls, their chances of a romantic relationship decreased by 6 to 7%. So there's this relationship between weight and romantic success.
And you point out that this is a problem that is really growing in the United States. During the past 20 years, you write, the average weight of those in the dating pool has changed dramatically. A map of obesity rates in 1985 shows only 8 states shaded dark blue, where 10 to 14% of adults are obese. Then they have to add a different color to make it 20% because more states are getting there, then 25%. And by 2012, you write, 2 out of 3 American adults would be overweight or obese.
Absolutely. I mean, this is what's really interesting is when – and the CDC, in fact, you can go onto their website and watch this map as it changes over that time period that I describe. And it's really extraordinary to think that the average human body has changed in America, has changed so dramatically in just such a short period of time. You know, and the way I think about it is, what if everybody in America all of a sudden grew – a foot taller, over the course of 20 years, we would all be wondering, what is going on here? In the case of being taller, there might not be as significant implications, health implications, of course, as there are with obesity. But nonetheless, it's really important, I think, to kind of step back and take note of just how swift this epidemic of obesity has been.
And we'll put a link to that map, by the way, at our website, hereandnow.org. But it's not just that it's been swift. It's that when you look at kids now and the trends going forward, you write that there's going to be a much higher percentage of adults with diabetes, for example.
Yes, what we know is that when you are overweight or particularly obese as a child, you're almost guaranteed to be obese for the rest of your life. Around 80 to 90% of boys and girls, it's a little different for boys, a little different for girls, will become obese adults. And they will fight weight for the rest of their life or be obese for the rest of their life. One of the things that's interesting is, we've started to see a few studies here and there that seem to be showing a leveling off of obesity rates particularly among toddlers and young children, sort of age 2 to 5. I'll say, though, that, that research is still very young, very early, and there's been some interesting studies that have come out since then to say we may have reinterpreted these data. So I don't think there's any reason to celebrate just yet. But also what we're finding is that the percentage of children who are very obese, morbidly obese at very young ages has continued to increase. So that sort of upper boundary of very large children, of very heavy children, has continued to grow significantly.
And Sarah Varney, we were talking about how this is impacting kids. Let's talk about adults. And let's say there's a relationship where one adult is overweight and one is not. What happens in a relationship like that?
So social scientists for many years were trying to figure out what kinds of relationships vis-a-vis body type, body weight, are the happiest. And their research was really all over the map for a long time. At first, there were some studies that showed overweight and obese women, but particularly obese women, were the happiest in their relationship. And the thinking from economists and social scientists and others was that perhaps, these were women and in some cases men who were very relieved to be in a relationship. Then you saw other studies that showed, no, it was the partners of obese women or men that were very unhappy, or it was only people who were slender and normal, quote, normal weight were happy. So it was all over the map for a long time. And then there was this interesting study where they basically looked at the comparative weight between the husband and the wife. And these are heterosexual couples that they look at. And essentially what they found was that it did not matter if the couple necessarily was, quote, normal weight. It just simply mattered if the husband weighed more than the wife or was heavier, in a sense, than the wife. So, you could be an overweight woman and be in a satisfying relationship so long as your husband was just simply bigger than you were.
Hmm. But there is also a real issue of your own body image, because even if your husband, let's say you're an overweight woman, even if your husband finds you attractive, you might not see it that way. And so no matter what he's saying to you about how beautiful you are, you're never going to believe it.
No, that's exactly right. And one of the main characters in the book is this wonderful woman, Dana, and her husband, Larry. And they really let me into their lives in a way that was incredibly generous. And we meet Dana when she's at her top weight. She was a heavy woman when she and Larry married. Larry was not heavy. And she just talks about how, the last sort of 65 pounds that she had put on really fundamentally changed her attitude. That she'd always been unhappy with her weight. But now she describes saying, feeling like now I'm a monster. I'm this unlikable fat girl. And so even though Larry is very loving and very, wants to be intimate with her, she just shuts down. And this is very common when you talk to psychologists and therapists. I talked to many of them all over the country, and they said this is very, very common. So we meet Dana at this kind of crisis moment in her life where really her relationship with her husband has really been put on ice. And so they're now living, as roommates, essentially. Hmm. And she's just terribly, terribly unhappy. Then we kind of go back in her life and we go back to her childhood to sort of try and find out, how did she end up with this really poor body image in the first place? She was not a very big child, but, by the time she was 18, 19, 20 years old and she had finished college and she married her first husband and had a child, she gained a lot of weight and just struggled with it for the next several decades. But then, interestingly enough, we meet her when she's had after she's had bariatric surgery and she's lost about 100 pounds. And she's sort of hoping that, you know, this is going to be the panacea that's going to solve all of her relationship problems. This is very common among people who have bariatric surgery, that there's this hope that everything that's wrong with my life must be related to my weight. And so if I fix this one thing, then all these other things will fall into place. And what we find is that it's much more complicated than that, of course. And Larry had really had stopped thinking about his wife in that way. You know, he talks about, I had stopped really reading her signs. And
because he got rejected so often.
So often, exactly. So, you know, there's a lot of work that, I mean, every couple has to do, of course. But when you throw weight into it and you throw the level of sort of self-hatred and body image issues in, it becomes a lot to deal with. But also all of the physical problems that for Dana, for instance, that came with her weight. Her knees constantly hurt her. She had terrible sleep apnea. You know, she was worried she was going to have a heart attack. So there's some very real physical problems that people who are overweight and obese deal with that very much confound their relationships, not only with themselves, but with their spouse.
There's also this tension for the spouse between trying to get your partner to lose weight or trying to make them feel comfortable in their own skin and not feel that they have to lose weight. But in some cases, it's a health issue for them. And by not telling them that they need to lose weight, you're doing them a disservice.
Yeah, and we hear from several people in the book who comment about that. You know, one woman in Southern California who she and her husband had been very big together and had had a lot of, you know, what she would say is just terrible eating habits. And there was one point where she had stopped off and gotten McDonald's for the kids, and she's home and she's sort of surveying her house and she's seeing how she's kind of raising this next generation of children to be just like her and her husband. And she just kind of has this moment where she says, you know, no more. So she decides that she's going to lose some weight. And what's very difficult is her husband doesn't make the same decision. And it ultimately ends up ending their marriage because she really feels like he's putting his needs and his need to eat this way and not exercise before me and before the kids. So you hear that a lot from the therapists that work with folks either in bariatric surgery support groups or weight loss groups, that, you know, a good marriage can survive significant weight loss, but a bad marriage has a very difficult time surviving it because it just upsets the dynamics too much in the relationship.
Of course, many times people get married and they're not obese, and then one person gains weight over time. Is there any sense of whether that changes the love life and the dynamic in the relationship?
There's been quite a bit of research done looking at the types of fights that they're called mixed weight marriages. And mixed weight marriages tend to have much more friction. And it's not just the sort of, you know, you get into your typical marital argument. It's pretty vicious stuff. So, you know, in these cases, we've got married couples who are mixed weight who are writing down diaries for weeks and weeks at a time, kind of narrating their relationship. You know, when did they fight? What was it about? What were the kinds of comments? And then researchers will go through and sort of grade it. And what they find is that the types of arguments are much more personal, they're much more vicious, and there's a lot more fighting and friction in those marriages.
Sarah Varney, one thing I wanted to ask you about that I noticed in this book and hadn't heard about before is that a number of people who are overweight have mirrors that are so small that they can only see their face because they don't want to see the rest of their body.
Yeah, this is very common. You know, I spent several years reporting and researching this book and talking to as many people as I possibly could, going to a lot of group meetings and other things. And this is a very common thing that you hear. Dana describes it really beautifully, and it's very sad that when she walks through her house, she would take these mirrors and just really have them at her nose and up so that she could do her eye makeup, but she just didn't want to see herself. And you hear that a lot from people who are overweight and obese, that, you know, I don't allow pictures of myself taken. There aren't pictures of me up in my home. And oftentimes, you know, one of the characters in the book, Eric, describes how he and his wife had, they didn't have any idea that they had gotten so as big as they had gotten because they hadn't seen a picture of themselves in forever. And then somebody took a photo of them and sent it to them in the mail. And they describe, you know, opening it up and looking at it and saying, wow, this is me. So there is a lot of this separation, you know, separating myself from my own body, not wanting to really know what it looks like.
Sarah Varney is the author of XL Love, How the Obesity Crisis is Complicating America's Love Life. Fascinating new book. Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy. I really appreciate it.